The Major Spoilers podcast covers news, reviews, and of course, spoilers, and goes into details about the topics discussed. So if you haven't read, listened, or watched the items we talk about, you might want to come back later.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Rodrigo.
And I'm Steven, and you're listening to the Major Spoilers podcast, the podcast for pop culture and comic fans.
In this issue, do you know what it's like to do a powerbomb? It doesn't matter what you think you know. It's hard times, Daddy, as the Major Spoilers crew takes on high fantasy role-playing games, Doctors of the Strange Luchadors, and Lucha Mores. Can you dig it? The Major Spoilers contest would like to present the Tag Team Champions of the World. And our podcast is on the air. Ding, ding.
Welcome to issue 1070 of the Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you for downloading and checking us out this week. Rodrigo, I had a lot of positive feedback about our show last week. People were really into our discussion of the Black Glove, and a lot of people were into our discussion about the three-body problem. A lot of good comments over on our Discord server, and listeners, you can join our Discord server absolutely free. There's a link in the show notes for that, but people were really getting into our discussion. In fact, Rodrigo and I talk a little bit more about the three-body problem in this week's Major Spoilers podcast pre-show that you can only get over on our Patreon page. Stick around. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. First up, though, it is time for some reviews. Let's start off with one of the big publishers, Marvel Comics, this week has Doctor Strange number 14 on the store shelves, Matthew.
It does. And Doctor Strange number 14 has something specifically targeted at each one of the three current members of the Major Spoilers crew on this show right now, because Doctor Strange number 14 is the story of a living role-playing game that has come to life and magically transformed Manhattan. It is the story of Doctor Strange having to assemble a party, which, of course, is Steven's favorite thing. And, of course, for me, that party is called the Secret Defenders. But in the previous issue, Doctor Strange basically got tied up in the Satanic Panic and explained how in the 80s, a lot of people were upset and thinking that somehow evil magics were going to take over their kid's face if they played Dungeons and Dragons. And that's crazy. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. Because
not,
the only
not
one
what
that
Tom
actually
Hanks
has
said.
Satanic powers
not, not
is
what
Colobrum.
Tom Hanks said. Tom Hanks warned
oh,
us.
Tom Hanks was insane. You can't listen to him.
Because he played Monsters and Mazes.
It was Mazes and Monsters. Okay, so anyway, the whole thing was ridiculous because the only one that actually had magic powers was Colobrum. And Colobrum disappeared until last issue. And Doctor Strange, the wizard, was contacted when he found a group of players were slowly being eaten by the game, but realized that in order to fight the game, he had to play the game. So he had to assemble a thief, a priest, and a fighter to assist him as the wizard and actually go into the world of Colobrum and try and figure things out. So for the priest, he went to Moon Knight. Moon Knight's dead, so we got his brother. It's actually cheaper. The thief, of course, is the Black Cat, Marvel's premier thief. And for the fighter, he said, well, one of the roles of the fighter is to be the meat shield, and I don't necessarily want to endanger one of my friends, so I'm going to get the Taskmaster. Which leads to the best running gag in this whole issue, as Doctor Strange addresses his party as my friends and Taskmaster.
Nice.
Which I think is lovely. But they actually...
Taskmaster is definitely a bard, though. he's like Red Mage from 8-Bit Theater. He's cheating.
My thinking on that is, like, he feels druidish to me because he has that thing where he takes on the shape of the...
Yeah, he's like a specialist. Like,
yeah, he's got power.
He's like a skills guy.
He's a multi-classer.
Anyway, yeah, he did. He definitely multi-classed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a twink. He totally twinked out his sheet. But they forgot one important thing, because Doctor Strange is not an avid gamer. Every game has a master. And the game master of this particular session is Baron Mordo. So Doctor Strange's most implacable foe, his old brother, friend, person, played by Chiwetel Ejiofor, in the movies, not necessarily here, has basically taken over and has trapped Doctor Strange, forcing him to fight the dragon, leaving the rest of these idiots to their own devices, which is actually kind of funny, because seeing Hunter's Moon, who is totally not Moon Knight, but is, again, Moon Knight's brother, not literal brother, he's another priest, a Fist of Khonshu, and Taskmaster, who is just a schmuck. Taskmaster is like the most delightful idiot in comics, because anything he does, and you say, oh, that's out of character, oh, no, he forgot that happened. Because as he learns new skills, his memories get erased. And we end up on this long and involved thing where Taskmaster and Hunter's Moon end up fighting one another because Mordo is controlling them, while Doctor Strange realizes that he's not supposed to fight the dragon, that the dragon is actually an avatar of the game itself. Spoiler alert, when you get a thief, it's her job to steal. So, leaving you with that, I do want to say that Jed McKay, who writes this issue, does feel like someone who has played a few games. And on the one hand, I feel like the role-playing game comes to life thing does feel a little, you know, familiar as a hook. The way that it plays out here is really weird. It feels different. It doesn't feel like, you know, Die or any of the other type of things that we've seen, or even any of the here's a Dungeons and Dragons game come to life stories that we've read, like the one that was redacted or Skull Kickers or the various actual Dungeons and Dragons games. But it is really fascinating to go through this and see it as kind of a microcosm of what we've been doing on Critical Hit, because most times the stories don't admit to the existence of the game. And at this point, the existence of the game and the rules of the game are actually the part of the story that's most fun. My one complaint is it does go very, very fast. And in classic Marvel fashion, there's a lot of side trips and subplots and bubbling pots on the side that are going to be something next month, or a month down the line, or were something last month that we're now cleaning up. All in all, though, Doctor Strange number 14 really surprised me. Really good issue. Four slices of meatloaf. If you've ever wanted to see Doctor Strange playing something with dungeons and or dragons, this is probably the game for you.
I don't know how often Taskmaster has appeared in his other books, but Jed McKay has written Moon Knight series, Doctor Strange series, Black Cat series.
Black Cat series.
So, he's really just bringing in, and it looks like he's exclusive to Marvel.
His favorite.
He's playing with his favorite. Everybody does that. So yeah. I just found that somewhat amusing. So there
it's
you go.
It's classic, though. It's something that you used to see in like the Bronze Age, where Steve Englehart is now writing Avengers, and all the characters that he had in his old book are now Avengers. I really like that. Plus, anything that says Defenders, I'm a buy. I don't care. Sure. It could stick. Much of it does suck, but I'm a buy it. It says Defenders.
Yeah. All right. Out this week from Dynamite Entertainment, we're keeping it in the fantasy realm with Red Sonja, Empire of the Damned, number one, from Steve Niles, who's written Red Sonja quite a bit, and Alessandro Amoruso on the art. First up on the art, is fine. Problem with Red Sonja in the art is the face seems to change a little bit. At one point, it looks like it's wanting to be more traditional art, and other times it looks like it maybe wants to be anime or manga art. I don't know if it's the coloring or the inking or what that's going on with that, but that was a little disheartening to see flat colors and not a lot of shapes. Of course, we're reviewing a preview copy that they sent, so there may have been something changed in the last minute, but I was a little bit disappointed in the art. I think that's probably my biggest complaint about the issue. Still, this is a story where Red Sonja is getting drunk in a bar, and there's all sorts of debauchery going on around, and there's definitely some people getting it on pretty clearly in the panel. So no direct nudity, but you can tell people are getting it on. And then the city guard comes in to break it up, and Red Sonja and this other guy who she thinks is kind of a jerk fight their way out, but they end up getting captured. And while they're in jail, they make an agreement that if they get out together, that Morgo, this other guy, he has a map to an ancient treasure that will make you rich beyond all imagination. And of course, that is all Red Sonja needs to team up and bust out of there. And they bust out of there. And one of them doesn't make it. I can tell you right now, it's not Red Sonja, because the name of the book is Red Sonja, Empire of the Damned. And then the interesting take on how she gets the map from this guy who's dying is also very interesting. And you kind of saw it coming. This is another problem with the coloring, because Morgo is a darker skinned person. And towards the end of the issue where she's riding off on the horse is also the same color as Morgo's skin. And so it makes really paying attention to what she has and where she got it from a little bit harder to spot on a very first glance, even though you know exactly what's happening. There is not a whole lot that happens in this first issue. I'll tell you, it starts with the tale of the city. I think a good editor would help on this one. I'm not saying the editor of this is bad, but I would have changed this around, because it starts with the tale of the city that was embroiled in a war between two factions and an evil wizard or a magician or mage or, you know, a necromancer or whatever, killing everybody. And the necromancer supposedly disappeared, leaving all these riches behind. Then we get into the bar scene. There is a bar fight. They wind up in jail, where Morgo retells the same story that opened the book. And I would have just flipped this around to where start in a tale where Red Sonja's getting drunk and having fun. They wind up in jail, then tell the flashback story as Morgo is telling it, and then bring us back to present time where they agree to make a pact and get out of there together. So story-wise, it was a little clunky, and because of the way that it was structured, it didn't move. There's a lot of action, don't get me wrong, but it felt kind of a slow pace throughout. Still enjoyable. It still has a good premise. I think we all know what's going to happen the minute you say, and the necromancer was never heard from again, .. I'm pretty sure that necromancer is going to show up before this series ends. 4 slices of meatloaf out of 5 for Red Sonja Empire of the Damned. It's a solid book. It was an enjoyable story. I can't say that I wish there was more action in it, because, you know, there's bar scenes, the bar fights, fighting with the guards, breaking out of jail, you know, swinging swords and shooting arrows and all these things. So it's got a lot of that. It's got some good one-liners. But I think that because they're repeating part of the story twice, it kind of felt redundant and maybe slowed things down. But still, worth 4 slices of meatloaf out of 5. I enjoyed this from Dynamite Entertainment this week. Now, looking ahead a couple of weeks, not next week, but the week after that, April 17th, Rodrigo, you have Beyond Real number 3 from Vault Comics.
Yeah, Vault Comics. They've sent us all 3, yep. Mm-hmm. So 1, 2, and 3. I've read them all. Beyond Real is the story of a young woman who has an accident and then starts perceiving sort of like the source code of the universe. It asks questions about whether we live in a simulation, or if the universe is just kind of written this way. And it is a trip. Like, the art is a trip, and this issue is no different. It has multiple artists on it, and there are times when the art shifts radically. And in fact, in the previous 2 issues, there's at least 1 radical art shift per issue, if not 2. Depending on where the protagonist goes and what she does. So in this one, they've gotten to a place where there's like a lot of bright colors and it's full of life. And they are trying to get to the source, because the main character has a love interest who also got hurt. And she's trying to basically unhurt them, right? It's like, you know, what if the crow was trying to actually do something useful? So she is looking for the source, which she has been told is the place where you might be able to change the code by a mysterious voice. We still don't know who the mysterious voice is. And she has kind of picked up a couple companions on her way that just kind of ended up with her because they escaped a dangerous situation together. But we get to know them a little bit more in this issue. I thought this was okay, although I feel that this issue was actually the weakest out of the 3 that they sent us. I still think it's very good. The art is fantastic. It's art that is not trying to, that is trying to be what it is, right? It's not being like, okay, this has to be like a big three comic that looks this way. Like, the art is giving itself like a lot of room to do what it does, to tell the story, to breathe the way that it wants. And I really appreciate that. But again, I'm like this, I feel that this issue sort of, I guess writing wise was a little bit weaker. I want to give it 3.5 slices of meatloaf.
Okay.
I still think you should check it out if you can get a hold of issues 1 and 2, because I don't know if there is a way to get a hold of issues 1 and 2.
Sure.
I don't think it was, you can still like, order it.
Check with your local comic shop. They can order it. You can order directly from Vault Comics website. They have it available.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely check it out. And yeah, pick up the first two as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's some other places where you can go pick up the first two issues over on Amazon, amazon.com. We have an affiliate link with that. There's a link right there on the majorspoilers.com website. You just go to majorspoilers.com. You'll see the little guy in the shopping basket. Just click on that, because we're not allowed to use the Amazon logo anymore. So click on that guy in the shopping basket. That'll take you to our Amazon affiliate link. You can just type in the name of the book. Beyond Real, issues 1 and 2 are available there. You can get it in the Comixology version, the digital version, or you can get a physical version. I will say, though, if you're buying a physical single-issue comic book through Amazon because you're dealing with individual comic shops, you are going to pay more than cover price for that. But if you're looking for trade paperbacks, if you're looking for a new computer for your game streaming, if you are looking for socks, if you are looking for a clip-on, snap-on thing for your car automobile, you can use that link over at majorspoilers.com. Click on that. Whatever you buy through that link, you know, you could buy a new refrigerator. You could go buy a video camera. You could go buy, you know, a chandelier through that link. A little bit comes back our way. And when I say a little bit, I'm talking about 3%. So the more you use that for your purchases, the larger that money pool grows, and eventually Jeff Bezos will pay us. He hasn't paid us in a few months. Get over there. Use that Amazon affiliate link and help us out. That's what you want to do. Speaking of another way of helping us out, Patreon. Patreon.com/majorspoilers. We've talked about this before. Back in the Renaissance, the coolest kids on the block were like, I demand a sculpture. Go get me Michelangelo. Because that's how the Medici's talked. And so they would go out
They sound a lot like Andrew Tate.
I know, right? And so they would, in fact, I think he got arrested in Italy, didn't he? Or was it Germany? I forget.
He likes the pizza.
They would bring the Michelangelos and the Da Vinci's and all these cool cats, the Donatello's and the other Ninja Turtle that no one can remember, would bring them all and pay them to make great art. And I know you're sitting there thinking about, wow, it sure would have been cool for me to be a patron of the arts back then. Stop thinking about ancient Rome. Start thinking about today and how you can be a patron today. You could be a patron right now and support the arts right here on this podcast by going to patreon.com/majorspoilers. I know you want to do it. You found value in the show. You want to hear Rodrigo and I talk about the three body problem. You want to hear us all talk about how the monoculture has been destroyed and how it creates confusion when it comes time to find cool shows to watch. Then you need to listen to the Major Spoilers podcast pre-show. We record it immediately before this show, and it's available to our patrons at the silver level and higher. And you can get it right now. In fact, you can get access to hundreds of bonus episodes right now when you sign up to become a patron at the silver level or higher. That's a mere $5 a month. I mean, hundreds of hours, maybe even 1,000 hours of content that you can access for a mere $5 a month. That's a bargain. That's a bargain for me, what Eddie Murphy would say. It all goes to a good cause, ensuring that we're here into the future to create more fun content for you. So what are you waiting for? Join the cool kids. Don't be left behind. Get access to all the bonus content. There's at least at the silver level 4 bonus episodes each and every month that you are going to get. If you're at the gold level, you get access to at least 8 bonus episodes a month. So much stuff waiting for you when you head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. This week we are talking about Do a Pirate Powerbomb by Daniel Warren Johnson, written and illustrated by Daniel Warren Johnson. If that name is not familiar to you, it should be super familiar to you because he is basically the one guiding the Energon universe over at Skybound with Cobra Commander and Duke and Transformers, Void Saga, and G.I. Joe. And I forget that I think there's one more that he's doing, or at least he's kind of the main instigator on. But he's good at what he's doing, and that's why he's doing so much over at Skybound. This week, though, we're doing a wrestling story. This week, Rodrigo, I believe, what is it? The big wrestling tournament 2024 is happening this weekend. So what better time? What is it? Wrestle? It's not WrestleMania. It's the
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Is it WrestleMania? Whatever it is. It's this week.
WrestleMania 40 is coming up.
And I'm, you know, I'm a big on all the wrestling things. WrestleMania weekend. Sure. That's what it is. 2024 happens on the 8th. 6th through the 8th this weekend. You can go get it. You don't have to get the pay-per-views, I don't think. You can go and catch it on all sorts of different places. CBS Sports has it. Other places have it. So what better way to celebrate WrestleMania week 2024 than by talking about a wrestling comic, which features my favorite type of wrestlers, a luchador. So here's the story about this. Lona Steel Rose wants to be a pro wrestler. As a very young baby child, she witnessed her mother being murdered in the ring by a masked wrestler. And ever since then, she's wanted to kind of follow in her mother's footsteps, but everyone is blocking it because they don't want her to end up the same way as her mother. And then the devil shows up in the form of a necromancer. I mean, he says he's a necromancer, but he's really the devil. I mean, by the time we get to the end of this issue and you find out who they have to fight in their final match, he's the devil. And the devil shows up and says, hey, you come and fight in this wrestling tournament and I'll bring your mom back to life. And she's like, great, I'm going to do it. And the devil is like, oh no, there's one thing. This is a tag team wrestling match. And if you want to be part of this, you have to tag team with the person who killed your mother. And so begrudgingly, she accepts. We also find out that the masked wrestler, I forget what his name,
Cobra Son.
Cobra Son. He is also, for the last several years, ever since the wrestler died, he has been going through his own turmoil and just feels super bad. And of course, the devil shows up to him and says, hey, you want to bring Steel Rose back, tag team with Lona, and we'll make it happen. And you're like, that's a weird kind of thing, because everybody that they meet in all the matches that they're doing have all been promised that their loved one will come back to them, which should be your first indicator that something's not right when the devil shows up and promises you he can bring a loved one back. And then it gets, and that's just in issue one, right?
Then it gets weird.
No, then it gets awesome, because then you get to the end of issue two. And throughout this, you know, first issue, Lona's father has been kind of distant and not there. He doesn't want her to wrestle. And then we find out that he is secretly Cobra Son this entire time. That's why he's been wearing the mask. And he and Steel Rose fell in love. They had the child and they never had a chance to tell Lona that he was Cobra Son. And so he killed his wife by accident. And so when I got to that part in the book, I got to say, I was pumping my fist and screaming and going, oh, yeah, this is awesome. I mean, awesome in a way that I did not see that coming. Not in the awesome way of, oh, man, here's this guy who killed his wife and now he can't tell his kid why. Not in that way. But
awesome wrestling, wife murder.
What's that?
Awesome wrestling, not wife murder.
I mean, he killed his wife. It was an accident.
Right. I'm just saying you're cheering the awesome wrestling and not the wife murder.
I'm just cheering because it was something that I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
And that's what made it really cool and very dramatic. Cause then you're like, oh my God, what is going to happen with this? And so then they go to hell and they fight orangutans and some dudes from Japan and some stinky guys. And they start to come together. And of course, Lona finds out about her dad. And then eventually they win the tournament, or no, they lose the tournament. But because of the way the wrestling goes, there can be only one winner, and the two tag team winners go at each other and kill themselves. And so the devil's like, I got to give this prize to somebody or they're going to riot. I give it to you. And then he's like, oh, but I can't bring your mom back because I don't have the power. There's only one person that has the power. And so we're going to 2-in-1 death match where you fight God. And so then they go and fight literal God, at which point I'm kind of checked out. At that point, I was kind of like, okay. But then the ending is very tearjerkery and stuff, because even God is like, sorry, you didn't best me. I can't bring your mom back, but I'll do this. And he does something, and then it's a sad ending with tears all around the end. Mm-hmm. I like this. I really like this a lot.
I think I want to say maybe a year or two ago, I reviewed on the podcast.
You reviewed a couple of issues, and I know I'm pretty sure either Christopher or Ingrid reviewed a couple of the other issues on the website too. I knew that this was a big deal on the website. And I remember that when it came out, it was a big deal. People were talking about it, and I know we have several of the reviews up on the website. So I was, up until the last issue or two, I was very much knowledgeable about what was going on.
Yeah. I remember reading issue one and being of mixed thoughts, because if you go through issue one and you get to the end of it, you kind of had two things going on in issue one. You had a lot of the front curtain stuff that we see from wrestling, you know, like the secrets and the fight and the people, you know, having to deal with these terrible things. And oh my God, his finishing move, he's broken in half, as God is my witness. But it also had the behind the curtain stuff. And in issue one, the balance is such that the behind the curtain stuff doesn't feel like the in front of the curtain stuff is like quite balanced out. And you're right. It's at the end of
issue two,
the second chapter, issue two, when we actually find out what's really kind of going on, that we do get that balance. Because as someone who's kind of a wrestling nerd, knowing what's going on behind the scenes is sometimes as much or more fun than seeing what happens in the ring. And a lot of the time you get to the point where it's in the ring, you know that there's scripting, you know that there's things that are preordained. But you do also have the moments, you know, where Axel Rotten smashes something over his head and is clearly actually legitimately breathing. You know, he's bleeding, he's falling down, Mick Foley's tooth is coming out of his nose. But I feel like if you just read that first issue like I did and didn't come back until like now, I feel like you've done yourself a disservice. And I feel like I want to say that whatever I said about issue one and my qualms about it back in the day, I was wrong. And reading the combined story, the complete story, really makes it clear that sometimes monthly publication of comic books is detrimental to the story being told.
I think if I picked this up when it first came out, I would have read the first issue, and then knowing that she had to team up, or you know, the devil shows up and wants to make this deal with her, I would be like, okay, I'm in just from that. And then when you get to the second issue and the end of the second issue, when you find out that Cobra Son is her dad, that's the point where I would be like, I don't care if this runs 6 issues or if this runs 25 issues. I'm in this for the whole run just by that twist alone. And so I guess I can see a little bit of your concern if you went into this thinking, oh, this is just going to be a wrestling comic book.
Right.
And not a conversation about love and loss and, you know, this other dimension that doesn't understand that Earth wrestling isn't real. Then I can see where you might come a little disappointed.
Hello.
Yeah. What you were going to talk. Go ahead.
It does have one thing that worked against it in that first chapter. And that is, I've read Kinnikuman, and Cobra Son's mask and crest and general demeanor does sort of evoke Kinnikuman. And for some reason, it put me in that mindset. And that's a completely different thing. And I feel like that also, having that reference there, that cool reference point, may have worked against me in this case for the story. So,
yeah, you came in with too much baggage is what you're saying.
I go everywhere with too much baggage. It's fine.
Rodrigo?
I mean, this story definitely is going to resonate differently depending on whether you're not a wrestling fan, and if you are, it's going to be different. If you're a wrestling fan, and depending on what your experience is with wrestling, it's going to be different. So I came in and I was like very interested in it. At the end of the first issue, I did not know if wrestling was like quote unquote real in this world, right?
Yeah. Right.
If we were watching, because you know, like you can have, obviously there's plenty of comics that exist completely and plenty of stories about wrestling that exists completely within kayfabe, right? That they don't, mm-hmm. right, they don't ever show you the behind the curtain stuff, or the behind the curtain stuff is incorporated into the story. So it's not until I think until like the orangutans show up,
yeah.
that we're they're like, hey, people know that it's fake in our world, right? And once I figured out what it was, then I was on board. But it was weird getting through almost two whole issues, or at mm-hmm. least two whole issues, and not knowing whether it was fake on Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of other like weird things where it's like a lot of these wrestlers are like references to stuff,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they're all from different planets, but they're all being like very specific like references. Like there's like a pizza and a raccoon from a different planet, but their finisher is like the New York slice. And it's like, why would that be the case? Like, so, I get that they're referencing something, but it's weird that you do space aliens. It's like the Lucha robots, I'm on board.
Right.
But then there's like some stuff that is like very specific. Like they just like mention Chicago by name, and I'm like, why?
So I think it's kind of briefly mentioned, especially from the Necromancer, who is like, I lost all these wars, and then I was relegated to this realm, and then I discovered your television, and I binged television, and the thing that I watched is wrestling, and I love wrestling. I love everything about it, and so I brought it to the multiverse or whatever. I get the feeling that somehow everybody has seen this wrestling and thinks that it's real.
Oh, I see.
And so I think that they're all, because of the way they dress, because of the action moves and a lot of those things, my assumption was that they have all seen Earth's wrestling television shows. They've all seen the WWE.
It's like a Galaxy Quest situation.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is an important distinction to make, because Rodrigo and I, as wrestlers, you know, wrestling fans.
And me. I know all things about wrestling.
Yeah. I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
You
the top buckle dive with the elbow and the thing and the tacks.
The what dive?
Yeah, the top of the buckle thing with the dive and the elbow and the tacks. There's always a tax. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you're right.
Yeah. Always a tax. Yeah. Yeah.
And the briefcase on top of the ladder.
As people who are like a little more, I want to say familiar with some of the intricacies, math is hard, the fiddly bits of the actual bits and pieces of wrestling, Rodrigo and I had some of the same kind of reservations about the story that you didn't have. And I think that may be an important thing to make. These may not necessarily be weaknesses in the story so much as they are something that you kind of have to come to terms with from wherever you come.
Yeah. I just accepted that. You know, all this stuff, everybody's knows in. It just hand wave it all. Here's the other thing. If you mm-hmm. read the introduction of this volume, I think it's in the introduction, you right. learn that Daniel Warren Johnson is only newly into wrestling. Right. His daughter, when the daughter was born, was very colicky and had trouble sleeping. And so he and his wife were taking turns with the baby all night, trying to get it to sleep. And he was like, well, if I've got nothing to do, I guess I'll watch television. And like the Necromancer, he stumbled upon wrestling, specifically the Japanese wrestling, and fell in love with wrestling just in general. From that introduction, it makes it sound like he was familiar with wrestling. I do believe he said he wasn't allowed to watch it when he was young. And right. so, you know, he's come into this late. And so he's bringing in everything that as he's a new fan. He wants to incorporate as much of what he knows about all of the different wrestlings into this book.
Right.
And so I think that makes the book even maybe more charming.
It does in its own way, because I feel like having experienced the whole thing, I feel like, again, as I said, I didn't necessarily from that first chapter have enough presented, at least in my mind, to kind of get a really clear picture of what it was going to do and what it was not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the point, I think the thing, this is the thing that throws me every single time, is the point where you get to, oh no, Cobra Sun killed her in the ring.
Yeah.
That has happened in real life. And
that's the other thing that I think is very interesting. Yeah. Is just not only, what's the new, I mean, yes, in real life in the rings, we have seen people die, broken spines, take a dive where they shouldn't have and landed wrong, broken backs, all that stuff. But we've also seen movies like The Wrestler and the recent Iron Claw, which show very tragic stories about what happened to these wrestlers in the rings. And so it feels like there's a lot of that brought in, too. So I appreciated the fact that Cobra Sun slipped. He, you know, the top buckle was a little bit too slick, and he slipped as he was trying to do his finishing move, which had he been able to do the finishing move correctly, wouldn't have been a problem. But because he slipped, his wife landed on her head wrong and broke her neck. And so I get that. I get that. And I thought that that was appropriate to bring into this story. You didn't think so, Matthew, or no?
I feel like at that point in the story, as Rodrigo said, we weren't established whether or not this was real. So someone like, there's a wrestler, and I want to say it may have been Perro Aguayo Jr., who literally broke his neck and died in the ring. There's video footage of it.
Yeah.
But you have that moment of when it plays out, everything stops. You know, you've seen these injuries. You've seen the heel stop and, you know, help his opponent that he's doing. And in the story, Cobra Sun's response to the death is not such that I understand or understood at the point that I read issue one as a standalone, whether or not bad guys kill in this universe, whether or not you wrestle till you die, you know, RIP the wrestler, he wrestled so hard he died. But that is, I feel like, a thing. That is a major struggling point for me, because we do see him looking upset, but it's not really addressed. And of course, the bad guy being the bad guy, we don't get a lot of in issue one, focus on it.
And there could definitely be a thing where, like, this is all real, but he was just trying to hurt her,
right?
Not kill her. And the slip can still happen, right? Just like if they were like fantasy sword fighters and one of them only wanted to disable the other one, but accidentally kills them. Like, it could still be, even though it exists within this like nebulous place of things that actually happen in wrestling. And, I believe Paraguayo was Jr. was killed by like a blow to the chest, actually, from Rey Mysterio Jr. It's here's the thing. If we're going to get into it, it was perfect. Like, he got hit with a move that people take all the time, but it hit him just, I don't know, at the precise moment, or maybe he had something go wrong before, but it stopped his heart and they didn't get it back on time.
And so I wonder if that is why that makes this opening scene with the death of Steel Rose that much more interesting, because the announcers are like, oh, he's getting ready to do his finishing move. It's not like nobody in the arena or who was watching this match, this is the first time that this person has ever done anything. They know that this guy's finishing move is, you know, the drop from the top, and then it just goes wrong. So it's this simple thing that they've done 1,000 times. These two have worked together. We learned that they've worked together nonstop since the early days. And this is just an accident that happens. And based on your perspective, which is what I think the end of the book is getting to, is we see things only a certain way. And maybe that's where you, Matthew, are like, oh, I only know wrestling from this perspective. So I come in to this with these expectations, and then it's flipped on my ear. Same way at the end when God is like, hey, listen, I'm going to open your mind to the things that you forgot because of of your trauma. I'm going to open this up and change your view on the whole situation, which was really cool. And so I just, you know, I wonder if that wasn't the whole kind of message, is sometimes we get too wrapped up on what we remember or what we're expecting, and we don't look at, or we forget about the other things that are going on in her life. Lona pushing her father away without knowing why, her father unintentionally pushing her away because he doesn't feel like he can reveal himself for fear of losing his daughter. Uncle Benjamin, who gets killed because he's also in this tournament to bring his sister back to life. The fact that Uncle Benjamin knows
another mask.
Yeah. That we find out that Uncle Benjamin actually knew all along what was going on. Yeah. There's a lot of things that people who aren't willing to just open up and talk to one another. In this case, it becomes at the beginning is a very dysfunctional family story, until Lona finds out that her dad is Cobra Son, at which point she's like, oh, I just wish you would have told me. So I wouldn't have hated Cobra Son this entire time. And that's when it feels like the music kicks up and they're doing a slow walk into the arena and just kicking butt left and right for the rest of the issue.
Yeah, I'll say this about the story. Unlike a lot of wrestling stories, everything that happens feels earned.
Yes.
The point where Cobra Son and Lana say, we're going to team up and we're going to do this, feels earned. The moment where she finds out this is her dad, and she's not freaking out. Right. She's like, you know, I was like, why, what didn't you tell? All that stuff feels earned, right? All those emotions feel earned based on what these characters have already been through. So I was very happy with sort of like the emotional punch of the story, like making that character her dad could have been completely terrible. Oh,
yeah. Just a terrible person. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it could have been badly done.
Sure.
How many things have we seen where it turns out that like the bad guy is the protagonist, like father, or they're related in some way. Mm-hmm. It can be shorthand for, you know, an emotional moment that isn't actually there. Right. But this book managed to do that, and it managed to play it well. And then from there, it actually went to other places with it. It wasn't, the big reveal isn't the end of the story. It isn't even like the beginning of like act three. It just kind of something that happens along with everything else that's happening. And yeah, when they get to go and wrestle God, and like, can I just say that it makes a lot of sense that he's been watching Japanese wrestling and they end up wrestling God, and that they don't win, but because they fight so hard that they make God bleed.
Yeah,
right.
That he's like, I will grant you this. Like that is so Japanese.
Yeah.
Here is your boon. And that is actually the part of it that I really, really love. And I feel like, as somebody who experiences comics oftentimes out of order, I feel like if I had showed up and read like issue 5 of 7 and then gone back and built in and gone back from the beginning and then read the end, kind of the way I read Watchmen, I feel like it would be a really successful story for me. It's just the point where I started, and again, I blame this on monthly floppies, the point where I started didn't give me enough of the context to realize what a phenomenal book this actually turns out to be.
What's the part at the end, Rodrigo, that you liked? The fact that God is like, here are these memories that you forgot you had, and so I'm giving you this special moment with your mother, or the very final page reveal or panel reveal where we see who's in the audience?
No, that was sweet. It's a very, like, very bittersweet ending that makes sense. I felt very satisfied by the end of it, both the memory and when we see the stands. I thought it was a strong way to end it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, when you look at it, by the end, these two characters have come together. These two characters were separated by a huge gulf.
Uh-huh.
Really, multiple huge gulps, right? And by the end, they come together knowing each other exactly as they are, you know, warts and all, and they come together to try to do something, and that's, you know, that's what the family would have wanted.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
They go into this wanting to literally bring back their wife and mother, And what they end up doing is metaphysically bringing back their wife and mother, basically rebuilding the family, understanding the roles that they both have and the roles that, you know, the late Yua had. And it really, really works better for me that they don't beat God, simply because...
That would have been dumb if they would have beaten God.
You know, I've seen it happen. There are stories where you can beat God. I've never been a part of one.
Not in this story. Not in this story, though. I think beating God in this story would not have worked.
Yeah, because this story is well written.
Yes. I also like that you don't get to see God's face because you're, you know, depending on which religion and belief you are, you're not supposed to look at God's face. You're not supposed to depict God's face in any kind of thing. So I feel like God being a masked wrestler kind of covers a lot of potential sins.
Much like El Santo. Use the pun. Yeah, you never get to see God's actual face.
Yeah.
Well, who has a hard mask like that?
God. Oh, I'm trying to remember. There's a guy in like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, I think, who may be a New Japan guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that mask does look like an overt reference to something.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's a wrestling reference or if it's just like here's like an angelic visage for the mask. But yeah, I feel like half the time my knowledge of wrestling was working against me in this. It's really interesting that this was put together by like a new fan to wrestling, because there are like, I think probably unconscious or subconscious indicators that are like, look at this. And I'm like, I'm looking at it. I don't get it. What are you trying to tell me here? And really he's not trying to tell me anything. He just put in this, like, this character wears tights of this color, and it's not a reference to anything, or it's not a reference within my reference. We talked about it in the pre-show. I'm actually having trouble keeping up with new stuff. So there could be there literally is a whole generation of wrestlers that I don't know, because I haven't been keeping up with like AAA and Japan Pro Wrestling and AEW and all that stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and look and see if there's a date on the introduction about when the daughter was born, because that would give you a little bit more of a clearer look of how recent a fan of wrestling he is, to give you some context. Because to me, after I read that, I'm like, oh no, this guy is experiencing the same things as I'm reading the book. He's experiencing the same things as I did when I was experiencing, what's the Lucha show that we used to talk about, Rodrigo?
Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground. When I discovered Lucha Underground, and I was like, holy crap, this is so cool. That everybody's like, well, of course, it's wrestling, and it's also Lucha wrestling, and all these things. But I'm like, yeah, but did you see that guy take the jump off the top of the building and land on that guy? And it's like, yeah, that happens all the time. And I feel like there are certain scenes that in this book are the same thing, where it's like, oh, did you see Cobra's son jump from that top and body slam that guy and take the fluorescent lights on the back and the tacks and the barbed wire chair? And it's like, oh yeah, this stuff happens all the time. WrestleMania week is coming up this weekend, like, April 6th and 7th.
Hey, New Jack.
Checking your local listings for times and in locations. It feels like that at times. So part of me is embracing this person who is just geeking out about wrestling and couching it in this story of a family who needs to come back together.
Yeah. You know what was another one for me? The dad is like Mexican Canadian and there's a strong tradition of that. And I was like, is this a Vampiro reference? But I'm like, no, I don't think so.
It could be 100. I wanted him to be a Stampede guy so bad. I wanted him to have trained in the dungeon.
Yeah.
But you know, it's also, and that, again, you know, as you said, sometimes having an expectation of a very strong expectation of what you expect something could be may actually work against the story. Because when they said, oh, he's Canadian, you know, he's Mexican-Canadian, and I hope that's not offensive, because I've actually heard that.
Fine. Okay. It's fine.
I've heard that in wrestling terms before. I immediately said
and when
that
has
same
wrestling
thing.
Never like, been oh. problematic?
That's fair.
I'll grant you. Bastion Booger still makes me sad, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know where I was going with that, but I do feel like there are moments in here that are great touchstones especially for like a new fan and a casual fan, that if you're like a guy who's like, I know the name of CM Punk's dog, you might actually Rascal. Be the guy who goes, it's Larry, by the
no,
way.
It's Larry.
Larry is his child. But you may be the guy who's like, well, actually, the original issues, you know, sometimes you'll have these things that actually mean the exact opposite of what they seem to be saying. So I think that's why having that final battle and the buildup and the, oh, they lost, but they're still awarded the titles anyway because everybody else is dead.
Yeah.
You know, that's too real for me. That's just like that's a Jeff Jarrett moment. Jeff Jarrett, by the way, has only ever been a champion because everybody else was dead and or quit, but that's fine.
Yeah. That's how I won my championship belt on Munchkinland. Is everybody moved away or they stopped coming to the game night. And so by default, I've got that championship built. Thank you, the great NATO. You are awesome. Okay, so if you guys thought that Do a Powerbomb by Daniel Warren Johnson was awesome, and we'll find out final thoughts here in a moment, just imagine what he's doing now in the Voidverse or the Void Saga with the Energon universe with Transformers and G.I. Joe and all that stuff. I think I've been reading Cobra Commander. And I've been digging that. So now I kind of want to go and explore what else Daniel Warren Johnson has done. Bottom line for me is, I don't care if you know nothing about wrestling. I don't care if you're a devotee of wrestling. I think you should go and do a Powerbomb number one from Image Comics. Go out and collect it and put it into your pocket right now.
By the way, it's Void Rivals. Void
That's
Saga
what it is.
Was.
That's
yeah, Void Saga is us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was literally us like 6 years ago.
bottom line for you, Rodrigo.
Get into it. Do a Powerbomb is really good. I feel like we didn't talk enough about the art, which is, I think
oh, yeah. Art is really
start geeking out about stuff.
Yeah.
The same guy.
So
we're not
slighting him by not talking about the art.
So fantastic. It's just so good.
Yeah.
Like wrestling has a look to it. Mm-hmm. And it is done so well, right? It's like you can do wrestling too well, and then it looks as forced as wrestling sometimes looks. But this, again, this just straddles that line so comfortably of like, is this real or not? Does it super well. I would say if you're a wrestling fan, take a deep breath and just try to hold back from assigning meaning to every square inch of this, and you'll actually enjoy it a lot.
Yeah. Matthew, final thoughts from you?
This gets my rare and coveted rush right out into buying frenzy. This is so good, you guys. This is the equivalent of the moment where Dwayne Johnson is like, but my name's Billy. It's just transcendent when you read it all together. Don't read it in the individual issues. And this may be the first time I've ever said those words in that order. So, you know, 30 years later, Stephen may have rubbed off on me.
Ooh, gross. The conversation, maybe I'll put a note in this for next week, maybe. The whole conversation about direct to trade or single issues is something that's probably a pre-show discussion. But I think that for whatever reason, I'd have to go back into the Major Spoilers archive. For whatever reason, I think there was a gap somewhere in the story in the releases. And that would be very frustrating for me if I got up to issue 4 and it's like, hey, there's going to be a 2-month break. And then we get back into doing these final issues. I think I would have been annoyed by that. But I would agree that this is something that you have to read in one sitting.
I waited 31 years for issue 25 of Miracle Man. I can wait 2 months for another Daniel Warren Johnson.
The book that I had, Beyond Real, I think it was a year between issues 1 and 2. And now it's coming out more regularly. But it happens. And it'll break you off and you'll forget there's so much media.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And there's so many comic books out there, and we're going to come back next week to talk about more comic books. Why? Because we know that you love comics and we do too. And if you found value in the show and you got off talking about wrestling, you want to hear more of me talking about my love and knowledge of all things wrestling, then you definitely want to become a patron over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Maybe I'll start a new wrestling show where I just talk about wrestling and my deep, vast knowledge and experience with wrestling going all the way back to the 1900s when the first wrestler appeared on the scenes. And he would go from town to town.
It was actually invented by Dick Wrestler in 1870.
And he would go from town to town and wrestle anybody. He would wrestle anybody for money. And if you beat him, then you got to bite the head off a chicken. And so now you know a little more. And we will talk with you next time.
That's actually true.
That's all true.
Fat Dick's Ray Vision of Superman. I could save a few bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the stand. But although every other page would be backwards, I suppose I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic book store guy knew, they kicked my butt out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Think about a better way. If I was hulking green or gray, I could just bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little meat would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you ever tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would I back and board my comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. If I'm Stark Raven, it's like a man of iron. Might not be surprised if I'm that I might actually have the heart cold to follow an entire storyline. Would I really even need to read up on all those escapades? I mean, who needs such distractions when your sister's such a babe? But the downside is such a beast. Being shot up in a fun, being the Middle East with a king, son, throwing soldier. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. Whoa, 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 whoa. What a major spoiler.
This podcast is copyright 2024 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.